Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. We'd like to recognize any first-time visitors we have with us this morning. The section to my left, do we have any first-time visitors? How about the center section? Any first-time visitors in the center? Yes. Would you like to share with us your names, or if you don't, that's fine too. But okay, well, we're glad to have you. Anyone in the section to my right? Yes, sir. Good to have you with us. If they've not been passed out, the attendance booklets, if I could ask to have some help passing those out. We ask that everyone register your attendance. Also, if you're the first one to sign the book, if you'll put the date and the 10:15 service up in the right-hand corner. Moving on to our announcements. We ask that you take the time to look at the announcements printed in the bulletin, all the activities that are going on. And we also ask if we have any announcements from the congregation. Anyone? Mary Beth.
A lot of people help kind of Simon, Dale, Susan, Nancy, but mostly it's been Brother Larry. So I knew he would never get that, but I wanted everybody to know, please, why don't you do it?
Anyone else? No?
I keep seeing Larry and Carol's friends as they're traveling. I'm a duty elder for the week, so I can't do what Larry does. Everybody have a real blessed week. call me.
I'm in Mississippi. Don't call me.
Okay.
Yes. Oh.
I'm sorry. As my wife is not here, I can speak a little bit more clearly, knowing that I'll be doing the game today. Speaking of her, she sends her greetings, and she made safely home. She's with my mom now. And she was down for 2 days after she came, and I kind of figured out, so not to worry, because she's not dying, and she'll definitely get well. And she's even getting better. And remembers you, and she stands with all the greetings, and that's been helping us. Since Brother Larry's not here, and I'm really happy with this. You know, he didn't know I'd like to preach just here for a minute. I really do want to express our deepest gratitude for what you have done in the last year and what you've been doing since we came here. And you all know, if you look into our lives, it's a great blessing. And how many things that there are no miracles on this earth, refer them to me, because we are watching miracles. I would like to read a few sentences from Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus is talking about, actually Matthew 25, 31, where he's talking about a parable, the sheep and the goats, and where he said that he will divide at the end when he comes people into two different groups, and there he says, he says that I needed, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me, and so forth. And just in the last week, I've been thinking about some words my grandmother has been telling me all my life when I was growing up, that since I never had fathers, she always kept saying that God will particularly take care of orphans and widows. And she would say this, and then she would cry afterwards, and I didn't understand that. Well, now I see how God has been taking care of all my life, and He does take care of everybody, and particularly orphans, take care of orphans and widows. And, we came out with four suitcases, mostly underwear and worn coats, we don't think to wear it. And right now, whatever we have at the house, or whatever we wear, whatever we possess, all been given. And I just want to assure that with Jesus' words, that those who offer a cup, and they have offer a cup to the little one, in my name, they give it to me. And whatever has been done to us, it's been done in His name, and it's been done for me. So that's the only words I can say right now, because I can't open them, but I just want to say that we do appreciate you, we do realize that everything has been given, and thank you very much.
been around an awful lot of preachers. In 79 years, I've known a bunch of them. And I will tell you that I have never known a better pastor than Larry Good. He doesn't call anybody. And people who are active in church, that's nice. But people who've never been in church, he's still the pastor. And so I don't know how people could appreciate any more having a man like that. He's a man of God. He's the pastor of a local church.
Amen. Okay, at this time we'll do a prayer request. Do we have any prayer requests from the congregation? Mike? Yes. Anyone else?
This man is over in NAC City. And he'll be there for 7 minutes.
Okay. If you'd like to put someone on the prayer list, you can write a name on the index cards in the pew in front of you and drop those in the offering plate.
Yes. One more semi-announcement is we've said a lot about positive things about Larry here, so Sue, to make sure you took notes in there. October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and it's also Larry's anniversary with his congregation. Larry and Carol's anniversary is the end of this month. Some years we've had an organized gift or celebration of that. I don't know that it has happened, but it wouldn't hurt for us to drop notes of appreciation to me and Carol with their ministry with us during Pastor Appreciation Month.
Okay. At this time, in preparation for worship, we ask that you bow your heads for a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Call to worship this morning is printed in your bulletin. It is responsive. Please join with me. Let us worship God. God sent Christ into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
Please stand and join the choir in singing hymn 97. I think it's All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Let us pray. Our Father, we come this morning to express our love to you. We adore you, and we do love you. And only you know what there is in our hearts as the reason that we really do love you. And so look within our hearts and see what's there, and accept it like an offering. We confess, O Lord, that we have not lived as we should have lived. There are those things that said that we should not have said. Those things that are done that should not have been done. And those terrible things that in and out of our heads, our minds, we confess that it's all there. And we thank you, O Lord, that your Son's sacrifice on the cross is the only answer we've ever found for it. So we confess that we are sinners, but sinners saved by grace. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. We're thankful, O Lord, for the people who come as guests in this worship this morning. We're thankful that really not visitors but guests have come this way. We pray your rich blessings on them. And now, O Lord, we ask your blessing on those who are sick, and those particularly close to our hearts. You know their needs. And so we ask, O Lord, simply that you supply what we need in every way. Hear our prayer, for we make it to the God who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'll remain standing, we will have the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of the hymnal. Please join with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated. Our call to confession this morning comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Please join me in unison in the prayer of confession. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us all from unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 345. Blessed Assurance. They want to stand up, so y'all stand up. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Who are the fortress of glory divine? That of salvation, purchase of blood, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story.
down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
Children's time now with Miss Andrea. If all the children would please come down front, and there will be children's church after.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for your children. Thank you so much for the fact that we have people who care enough for us to get to their lives and live up and on and move to sin and struggle from the past. For you to send me back. Amen.
Our offertory sentence this morning comes from Genesis 28:22. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Will the ushers please come forward?
Turn in your hymnals to page 514. In my heart there rings a melody.
Sweeter melody, sweeter melody.
scripture lesson today comes from Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God.
Excuse me, but I run mighty dry sometimes. It's an honor to be here this morning, and I do appreciate the invitation to be here. When I stand up to preach, I am literally scared to death. It's been going on for over 50 years. And so, would you pray for me? Preaching is God's act, not man's. The sacrament is where that He takes the Word and breathes it full of the Holy Spirit. And full of Spirit, it goes to somebody here, somebody there, somebody over here. And it's God's act, is preaching. So, will you lift me up, please? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the fire and burn so that our cold hearts be warmed. Come as the Spirit and fill so that we may know your power. Please come. Amen. This morning I want to talk with you about the difference between religious people and Christian people. Now there's a great deal of difference between Christian and religious. Religious people began with a sincere desire to reach the heart of God. A desire that's in there, and they're trying to find their way to the heart of God. And so one of the main things about religious people is this, that out here they are, and it's sincere. And they want to reach the heart of God, so they find a charismatic leader. And with this charismatic leader can be from a century or two ago, or it can be as new as Benny Hinn. there's got to be a leader. And so finding the leader, and then there comes the assurance that we are the ones who are right. With religious people is the assurance that we are the only ones who are right, and everybody else is going to hell. And that's the reason that you keep, it's a sin to go to somebody else's church, because you've got to hold within this group. Now there's another thing that you've got to have if you're very religious, and that is, you've got to have somebody to hate. You've got to look down on somebody, so find them. A young woman is talking to me about political involvement, and she said, really, in the election, it's a matter of principle. And I said, you're talking about truth and honor and fair play and decency and plain courtesy. And she said, oh no, said in the election, it's the principles involved, and the only, and there's only, and I said, what are those? She said, well, there's two. She said, it's a matter of gay marriage, and it's a matter of abortion. And I watched the venom that spewed from her since then. She hates queers. And she had a great-grandmother whose stepsister's son married a girl whose niece had an abortion. So she hates abortion. Because she never did like that branch of the family anyway. So you got to have somebody to hate. And then along with this thing of working your way into the heart of God, you got to have rules to go by. And that involves so much of what the preacher says is right and wrong. Years ago up in Sumner County, I remember standing down at the worship store and admiring a little girl who's waiting for the school bus. She had this little granny dress, and I bragged on it. And she said, well, Mama made it so that it'll hide my jeans. Because our preacher says that it's a terrible sin for a little girl to wear jeans. And so her mother made the dress to hide the jeans from the preacher's rule. A lot of that's kind of stuff. Now, a lot of people began with that, and they drop out and they say, well, I'm not a good Christian. I gave up on that. They're just worn out with rules and regulations of some preacher. And then some people have stayed with it all their life. And some of it erupts in awfully mean spirit. I think the meanest old woman I think I've ever known in my life. She had a monumental bosom,
and she surveyed the whole world from that she moved in like the Queen Mary moved throughout. And she had one rule that she always said she lived by. And also, I believe that if you can't say something good about people, don't say anything. And so she didn't say anything about anybody. But when somebody mentioned Jonathan, and there'd been trouble over a lion fist back there in the grandparents' days. Somebody mentioned Jonathan. She said, well, if I told what I could, and never put the body, put the spin on Jonathan, what he didn't tell. She watched the morals of everybody. And somebody mentioned the Lucy. She said, well, if I told what I could, everybody wanted to see Lucy. And it amounted to character assassination. A few years ago, she died. And I told Evelyn, I want to go to her funeral. And Evelyn said, as much trouble as she caused in that church and in the community, how on earth would you want to go to her funeral? And I said, I just want to be sure she's dead. I'll tell you, I had more fun than anybody that ever went to a funeral. It was wonderful. Now I can laugh about it, but it was awful to live around that kind of religion. A lot of people have
worried about it. A lot of genuine folk still worried about religion. Am I doing enough? See, if it's you're depending on to reach the heart of God and at last in heaven save us. Well, if you're working hard at it, how much work do you need to do to be sure that you got enough done that when He comes, He'll take you to heaven? That's so real in a lot of people. Uncertainty about whether or not I'm saved. Now the opposite, and so that's working in, religion's working in. Christianity is takes a different direction, and it begins in the heart of God. This working toward the heart of God, this begins in the heart of God, and it reaches out. See, this is duty and this is beauty. And the difference is Jesus Christ. Now, I can preach this with assurance because I've been there. Mother always assured us when I was a child that we grew up in a coal mine town, and Presbyterians were kind of scarce in the mountains in those days in coal camps. And our name was Bennett, and that wasn't a real popular name in that, and so we didn't go to church. Mother just assured us that we were old school Presbyterians. But whatever an old school is, we didn't go to church and we didn't go to Sunday school. And I grew up without that. And as an older teenager, we moved to a farm. There, they had a Baptist church in the community, just one great church, beautiful spire. And they had a revival, and I'd never been to a revival, and I stood holding on to the pew to keep from going to the altar. And then I did. I went to an altar and the preacher said something to me. I don't know what he said. I didn't know what it meant. But I said yes. And ipso facto, I became a Baptist. And it lasted a year. During that year, I worked so hard at trying to be a good Christian. Tried so hard to be a good Baptist, or it could have been a good Methodist. I tried so hard. And it was there every time the door opened. I started tithing my picking up hay bale money. And I was there for BYPU and choir practice and everything else. I tried so hard. Then the revival came again, and I knew that there's something wrong inside. There wasn't inside me. One afternoon, cutting bushes. I like to cut bushes. You can see that you've been there and you've done something. And I cut bushes, and I prayed. Cut bushes and I prayed. And finally, I got time to go home and feed my horse. Every town boy that ever got country had to have a horse. And I had one that had to be fed. I stopped at the corn crib door and knelt down there and said, "Lord, if you haven't saved me, I reckon I never will be saved." And the marvelous thing, I've never had to be saved again. Because when I quit trying, now hear me, when I quit trying so hard to be a Christian, He could do it for me. Does that sound, it sounds like a paradox. When you quit trying, then the Lord can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And that's taken care of an awful lot of guilt in my life. You see, all the guilt, you know, your body is evil. And there's stuff in your mind's evil, and then a lot of stuff I've been guilty of, and I'm not going to tell you right now. Just speculate about it. But you know, there's a young woman who's just given me plain torment. I kin to some people who got religion. Evelyn and I married, and we'd both been divorced. We married. And she'd given me hell about it. Just terrible. And finally, the Lord gave, I listened to it for about an hour or so. And finally, the Lord gave me the answer that I needed. And I said, now wait a minute, sister. Jesus Christ died one Friday afternoon about 3 o'clock 2,000 years ago so that I don't have to feel guilty. Now you shut up and I'm going to bed. That's been the answer for everything that I know. Down here at the north side of our house, there's a rock garden. And in one of the circles of rocks, there's the figure of a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And that's what God can do with us with Jesus Christ. You see, God, and I'm unusual for a preacher because I go around telling people that God's friendly and Jesus likes you. Now, He likes you like you are. And God made you, and what's in you is what God put in there. And Kurt Bahama used to say, God don't make no junk. You see, God made you. God likes you. And Jesus loves you. Now that's good news. And that's Christian. Did you ever have a hero? I've always had. My first hero, I think, was Jack Armstrong, the All-American boy. You remember that on Wheaties Box Tops or somebody? I was an athlete or somebody. And I'm still like that, and I know a man named Jesus. And he's in here. And I love him. Love him. You know Jesus. Do you remember ever being in a public place, a lobby, an airport, or a good restaurant, or on the street sometimes? And somebody meets your eye, and instead of looking away quick, they just look right into you. And I call it a knowing. Well, Jesus is always looking at people. Jesus is always looking at. I think, and that's what excites me about someday I'm going to go on home. And I look over this world and with dismay, and I don't like what I see. Feel sorry for my children, my grandchildren. But I'm looking forward to going on home. At 79, wow. And you know, when I close my eyes here, and the exciting thing is that I'm going to see when I open them over there, He's going to look right into me, inside of me, and there'll be that knowing. I used to trade at a drugstore, and this fine boy worked down there, and he'd always say, you know, Mr. Bent, thank you for trading with us, and reach out and touch the back of my hand. He never knew what that meant, that instead of just raw commerce, thank for trading with us. Jesus always touching people, and I think when we close our eyes here, and that's the last touch that we get from a nurse or anybody, become aware over there, there'll be the touch of His hand. They'd be like, wow. Your toenails tingle. Wow. He touched me. And that's worth knowing. A love like that. Now, this kind of love and this kind of relationship, you see, is Jesus in your heart. And you reach out. Now, what do you do when you're reaching out? You know, I found something that works for me. I got two things working. From Bill St. John, I went to Vanderbilt 3 years. You know, the only thing I got out of Vanderbilt is one sentence. Is that it was from Bill St. John during those years. And he said, always remember that only relationships of honor are going to last. Only relationships of honor are going to last. And as a Christian man, to be honorable in your dealings with people. Because that when you lie to somebody, you set the date when that relationship's going to end. When you take something wrongly from somebody, you write down the date when the friendship's going to, that relationship's going to end. When you misuse anybody in any way, that's the end of the relationships right there. And so I've tried to live with that a long time. But there's something that's better than that if you live in Nolensville. It's from the 12th chapter of Romans. Down in there he says to outdo one another in showing honor. In your dealings with people in this town, to know that you can do better than anybody in town in showing honor to other people. You read that so beautifully, the 12th chapter of Romans. And when you get home, get a new translation of the Bible and go over it sentence by sentence and see how it fits if you live in Nolensville. But he says, give your body a living sacrifice. Now, he's not talking about sweet talk. He's not talking some of those beautiful poetry, sentimental stuff. He's talking about that body. I thought for years that having a healthy young male body is going to send me straight to hell. Don't explore that. Some of you have been there. But you see, he comes down that it's your body is the way that you express what's inside your heart. You see that these hands give your Christ in you the hope of glory. And that means as a Christian that when you reach out to touch somebody, that it is Christ in your hand touching the Christ in you. You free to love, to touch, to give, to love. Christ in your body, Christ in your feet, means that when you go there, He's there because you're there. By inference, if He's not comfortable for Him to go into that place, then you don't need to be there either. In your brain. And in your tongue. Wow. You see, there's that sometimes I encounter an ugly spirit. And I've about decided there's some stuff I'm not going to be involved in. Because it tears me all to pieces. Ugly. And you know what's the answer in Nolensville or Tennessee or the United States? Is for a group of people to decide that I'm going to outdo anybody here in showing honor to other people. Do you hear me? Does that make sense? There isn't a situation that you can't deal with. Your Christ is in your tongue. Your Christ is in your brain. Christ in your relationship, in your family, and in your neighborhood, and in your town. Wow. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Well, go home and read the 12th chapter of Romans. And that's Christian. Or to sum it up, it's this thing is, you work so hard to be sure you're going to heaven. And instead of working hard to go to heaven, let Him get inside you so that you can live here and now instead of worried about the future. Now, I wish I had I'm going to ask that to close our service and change the music just a little bit, and let's go back to the children's service. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Could we change that? It's very simple. And then, but I wish I had a good story that I could tell you to end this sermon. You know, Presbyterian, it's to begin with, an introduction, a firstly, a secondly, a thirdly, and a now in conclusion. And I don't have anything to tell you now in conclusion to end this sermon. But you know, I don't think I have to have something to end this with, because you can, and you know where it involves with you, and you know where it what it involves over here with you. You see, I don't have to end it, because I know that you can. And now let's stand, and we're going to sing, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus." And if there's a decision that you would make this morning about following Jesus, come to the altar, please. Or you can make a little area right there where you're standing and make that your commitment right there in the pew. "I have decided to follow Jesus." First and last stanzas.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back.
Now I want to give you the blessing, and to receive the blessing, then we're going to sing the Amen from Amen from Lilies of the Field, Sidney Poitier thing, and then you turn and pass the blessing to the person next to you. Now, to receive the blessing, know that you're somebody, you're God's people. So you square your shoulders. Straighten up. Hold up your head. Look to the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Go in peace, and the blessing of the Lord go with you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Well, still make the last.
How you doing, Charlie? All pretty good.